Praise God. It seems that as the day's gone on, we've got less and less people left. It's all good, man. Praise you, Jesus. What I'm finding is that as the day's gone on as well, is that there's coming a greater liberty to celebrate and to actually rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And it's, well, for me, that's what it's all about. It's actually not so much here in me, but it's about rejoicing in the presence of God. And if we can do that, then I'm a happy chap. I can go home happy and the rest I don't care about. And it's wonderful stuff. Just a couple of things. Joanne's CDs, the orders for them will, the last orders will be taken by end of the dinner time tonight, so that any money that comes from them can go directly to Joe. So if you want to order CDs, you'll need to do it before the end of the break time. It's the same with our CDs. At the end of the break time today, the end of the meal time, the table will be closed down and they will be going away. So you won't be able to get any more of them unless you want to ring us and get us on our website. Our site is www.sonofthunder.org, and so we can catch some stuff on there. I've just been cogitating on kind of what to share about it. My wife said to me, "Oh, you haven't talked to them about translocation," because I mentioned it before, and it's some phrase that some of you probably won't have even heard before. It's known as Phillips Transport. So if you're wondering what translocation is, it's when God will shift your body, soul, and spirit into another place around the earth or into the galaxy or whatever, do whatever, and he will shift you whole and put you from one place to another so you can do a job and then put you back again. And it's the most wonderful experience you can probably experience in the natural arena at this point in time. And so I've had some very interesting experiences through this process. When it first started happening to me, I thought it was all demonic and demonized and that I was fully demonized. But it was God, because the glory would turn up and the portal would open and I would go through it. And it was kind of like, well, this can't be demons because it's God, because I know what God looks like and know what he feels like. And so about 9 years ago, I think I had an interview when I was in the States with a guy that was there that kind of had heard that I was a bit freakish. And he kind of, like over there was kind of a more sort of reserved church, but wasn't reserved, and you know, they sort of wanted the things but didn't want them. They wanted them on their terms. And he asked me to come and have a TV interview with him. And so we had this TV interview, and I was supposed to have 15 minutes or 2.5 hours later, still live on TV. And this is in the States on Christian Broadcasting Network. Yeah, I know. And then it went from there, and so they got some of the excerpts from that and they put them on YouTube. And since then, from that time, it's been very interesting, because there's been some people that have said I'm totally off the cuckoo's nest, and others that are going, yeah, it's about time somebody started talking about this stuff. Because I tell you, so amongst my peer group that is in the face of the earth today, that God has enabled me to engage and connect with, that this has been happening fairly regularly to most of them in some way or another. But they're all too chicken to talk about it, just in case it might lose their ministry. And so I don't know whether you know me, but I just don't care what another person's opinion is anymore. And so, you know, that's my opinion and my experience, and you don't have to accept it, you don't have to like it. It's just what happens. And so I've been about this stuff now for a number of years and fully enjoy it. Some of them haven't been always a celebratory experience. I have received some pain from some of them because of things that happen around you. But it's the marks of God you bear in your body, and that's wonderful. And so it's very exciting, especially when you know you've been in the Spirit and they've come to do stuff to you and they can't touch you. It's just great. Like, it's wonderful stuff. You know, I often wonder what happens to the people. One of my experiences was, one of the first ones I had was the Lord shifted me from New Zealand, put me in this prison, walked through this wall in the prison cell, and there was this guy beaten up in some eastern prison somewhere. And he kind of looked at me and he, you know, how they speak in their language, and I can hear in English in my head, and then when I speak in my head in English, out of my mouth comes tongues in his language, talking English in my head, but speaking in whatever. It was just good stuff. And he said to me, you know, have you come to take me to heaven? And I said, no, heaven sent me to help you here. And I mean, I didn't know what else to say. You know, come through a wall, what do you expect to do? My first kind of time doing this stuff. And so all I knew was, well, he's in a mess. His body was pulverized and beaten and black-eyed and broken bones. And I go, well, God wants to heal you. So I put my hand on his body. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Like, I laid my hand on his foot, and it kind of like this wave went over his body. And everything that was wrong under that wave just got healed. It just went up his body. Like this. Totally healed. And the guy jumped off this bed, yelling and screaming, "Ah, God's coming to my room. God's healed me." And we hear this tick, 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 tick down the passageway, and this little hole thing opened up like this. And this, and this gun came out, stuck to the thing, and the bullet, like this, straight towards my face. And then everything slowed down. And I found myself back in my room again, and the spirit wall was still open, and the door shut like that. Excuse me, that was holy spit. Not me, got you there. But I would love to have known what happened to the guy that fired the gun. You know, it's just, some of the things are really interesting. One of my, in another experience of being in the spirit, I at that stage, you know, you got to understand, I've been doing this for years, and it's been a real hard journey to be able to try and share some of this stuff. And so I can remember being in the chancel, in the council chamber of war, and one of my kind of experience, the first time I've ever seen another believer in the realm of the spirit. And I was across the side of the table talking with the chancellor, and this woman walked in to the council chamber of war, and I went, how dare she walk into this room, and I'm here. I'm a son of God. Who the hang does she think she is? A witch. And then, these are the things, see, I'm trying to, nobody talks about this stuff. You see, so I'm trying to figure out what this is all about, you see. And so she looks at me, and I look at her, and there was like this recognition of the glory in her and the glory in me, and I went, oh my goodness, you're a believer. I can't believe this. And so I'm having this conversation, and the chancellor goes, excuse me, pay attention to me. That's what you're here for. And so anyway, so we did this stuff, and you've got to understand that for 2.5 years, I was sharing the story. And on the other side of the globe, there was a woman sharing her story about being in the council chamber of war and seeing this guy that came from New Zealand on the other side of the room. And so it took Patricia King and I 2 years to get our calendars together to meet and spend 2 days together talking about the kingdom. And so, like, these things are real. Like, I've done the same with Jason Westerfield. We knew each other before. Same with Jeff. I mean, all these guys, like, this should be normal for us. But because we've never been taught that it's normal and we can't do it, we're told we can't do it, then we don't do it. And so it's, a Christian life should not be boring. Like, this is, oh my goodness, I look forward to going to sleep. I look forward to getting in my quiet time or getting down the seat where there's nobody around just in case God might shift me. And I sit there waiting, what you going to do? You know? And that's the way you should live your life, with expectation, full of excitement and full of revelation and desire to see the manifestation of the kingdom. I want his kingdom to come on the earth. And these things are what we should be doing today. We should be doing these things. Like, and there shouldn't be a shameful thing to talk about it. I'm not afraid of talking about them. I've got nothing to lose. I'm a businessman, so what can they do? Come take my business away from me? Ooh, you know, so I just don't have any beans with it now. I've come past the stage of actually caring, and I have wonderful sisters like Jo that keep on saying, Ian, take the reins off your teaching. Teach us the stuff that you're doing now. Well, if I taught that stuff, most of the church would run out the door. So I try and bring little bits in so that they can kind of get a hint that there might be something more, which is always good, because that means next year you can get a bit more. And the next year, but most of the stuff I'm teaching is anywhere from 10 to 15 years old for me. Okay, and so, but it's revelation to you, and that's what it's all about. It's actually to give you a promise that we can go further in a walk with God. You take the reins off here. Rabashi. So hopefully over this time you've received some keys that would be helpful for you, and particularly with your walk with God. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's about you producing a realm of intimacy with the presence of God, where you become known as a friend of God in the heavens. And for me, I had an encounter with the person of God and the chancellors and the court there, and for me, I've longed to be known as a friend of God. That's all I wanted. Enoch was known as a friend of God. These men of the Old Testament were known as a friend of God. I wanted to be known as a friend of God. And I chased God to do everything I could to be known as a friend of God in the realm of the kingdom. And also in the realm that's in darkness. They need to know that I'm a friend of God, because if they touch me, God's going to smash the daylights out of them. And so I can remember walking in this arena one day, and these two chancellors walked past me, and I turned around to look at them, because they're like, I want to know who they are. See, I'm really curious now, because there's a lot of things going on that, whatever. And so I turned around to look at these guys. And they looked at me, and I heard them say, you're the friend of God. I was just like, oh my goodness, that's the very thing I've been desiring, to actually come into a relationship with God with. And so I ran into the throne, like, mistake, but I ran into the throne and just saying, Father, they said this thing. He's on the floor because he's busy doing his business. And so you don't interfere when he's doing his business. When he's off the throne, then you can become your dad. And so there's a protocol, you know, when you're in the kingdom realm. You don't just, but anyway, that's in kid, you know, when you're a kid, you're enthusiastic, and God understands that, but there are times when you wet your pants for no reason. And so it's all good. Praise God. So, as I said, so life with God is exciting, and it's supposed to be like that. We're supposed to live a life-filled, expected realm kingdom people. I mean, whatever, I don't know the other semantics to call it. You know, the whole heaven isn't made up the way that's made here. There's about 28 different colors, and there's, you know, all the stuff. There's metals that we don't even have on our table that are in heaven that you can, you can do stuff. You can make stuff. You know, the same way as God made stuff. Well, we got to practice being like Him. And if God can call stuff into being, and we're all light and energy and power, then we can make out of light and energy and power, you can make matter. Anyway, praise God. All under the blood. Divine order in this chaos. That's how you get people healed. You make matter. Hallelujah, Father. And so, just lately, one of the, I take my reins over, but I will get to teaching about building a strong spirit shortly. One of the key things for me has been the engagement with the angelic realm and the willingness to actually communicate with angels. Angels are only too happy to talk to you, but they won't start the conversation because they honor you because of who you are. And there's a protocol for their approach. Unless they've been sent on assignment for a specific purpose, then they will decree their assignment when they turn up. If they're there in an atmosphere, then they won't respond until you respond. And they wait for you to do your bit, then they can do their bit. The most amazing thing with them is they have no grid for sin. They have no grid for you doing wrong stuff. And so I'll be standing right next to you while you're looking at pornography or whatever you're doing. I mean, whatever your wrong stuff is, whatever your being is, you need to deal with it. And they'll be right next to you while you're doing your stuff. And right next to you while you're taking God through doing your stuff. And so they'll stand there. They don't have an opinion about it because they don't have a reference for it. There's no grid for it. All they're waiting for you to do is to do your job so they can do their job. And the moment you do your job, they'll go, phew, we've waited for 80 years for them to do that. Now we can go back getting another assignment. And so, some angels are really funny. I think the thing that you're going to be finding very shortly is that the revelation of who we are as the ark of God is going to come around the face of the earth. And when that happens, you'll find that actually over all our lives, there are cherub that stand. And it's the name of God that's established in heaven that will be our new name, that God will facilitate the glory to manifest on us. We'll become the resting place of the seat of the government of God here on the earth with the angels and the ark of the glory of the God over us. When I talk about ark, I don't mean the box. An ark is an ARC between the two angel wings, which is a fissure that opens up the supernatural world to the glory of the kingdom of heaven and the heaven to manifest on the face of the earth. There's a realm that will open up, and God comes through the realm and sits on the mercy seat in this arena, and I'm looking forward to Him sitting on me. Hallelujah. Anyway, so I just thought I'd share that with you. When I was in Africa last time I was there, 2 months ago, doing some conferences over there in Namibia. We turned Namibia upside down. It was a wonderful experience. And going back there in about 2 weeks to go and do another conference to stir the coals again. It's going to be great. And break their religious mindsets. There's so many religious demons over there. I said that I can go in the spirit and all manifested. It was wonderful. And when I was over there, the Lord began to speak to me about the cherub and how they sit over our life, and the two cherub of the tree, either side of the way of the tree of life, with a flaming sword that turns every which way. The different creatures, by the way. It's not an angel with a sword, it's a flaming sword. You just got to read the Bible properly. And so I got very sick, and it was a thing that had come into my body out of the spirit world, a curse, and I went back in time, found out where it entered, and got hold of the thing and broke it, and out of it came all the stuff and all this bacteria that had been assigned to destroy my body. And I pulled it out of my body, and then you can do that stuff in the spirit because your spirit can do all that stuff. And so, and then I sat between the wing of the cherub and the light, and my blood passed through the way of the tree of life. And it was like the power of the manifestation of that was like this side of my body was on fire. And as it passed through me like this, my body came normal this side until my body, and so within an hour of sitting down, I was totally healed. And it's all because I responded to the angels. The way that God wants us to walk in the kingdom. Now, I do suffer. I have a major problem with my body, and that's all good. But I use it as a springboard to stand on to drive me into intimacy with the presence of God. So all pain becomes a springboard. Instead of something to suffer on, it becomes a springboard to drive you into intimacy. And drives you into intimacy. And drives you into intimacy. And so when it gets sore, it drives you like fasting. I consider it like fasting. The more pain I get, the deeper I go in. That's how you've got to use every circumstance in your life. It's where your spirit begins to get built up and get strong so you can stand in the way of the presence of the Lord. And so I really want to just come through, do some teaching with you today and building a strong spirit. I've already covered the gateways of the spirit, soul, and body. And so it's just important that we just get to grips with the way our spirit man functions and the different gateways of our spirit man and how they operate as well. And so you have the diagram. There's a booklet that I produced that would be helpful for you to get hold of some of that stuff. But you've got to understand that you are a spirit being. God created us in His image. God is a spirit. If God is a spirit, then I too am a spirit. Now, if you weren't here in the first meetings, then get the CD because I cover a lot of this basic foundational stuff in that CD. And so, because I am a spirit being, I've got to understand who my and what my spirit man is. And so one of the key things to do to get into grips with what my spirit man is actually getting to a place where I can strengthen my inner man or my strengthen my spirit man so they can become, excuse me, some water. Out, you devil. So that I can strengthen my spirit man and become the container of the manifested presence of God here today. And so there's some key things that I found that are important for you and I to grow the capacity in us. Now, the Bible does talk about a technon and a huios son. Technon is a small son or a baby child. Huios is a mature son. And so the different words that are used in the Greek for calling a son, like God produced sons, well, that's a technon. When God produced mature sons, it's huios. And so, but that's all translated as son in the Bible. And so God isn't looking for technon babies. He's looking for huios, mature sons that would carry His manifested presence on the face of the earth. He's not looking for little kids. Now, I've got a nice car. I don't give my child, my son, the keys to my car. Because he's inexperienced and actually is a bit of a petrolhead, a little bit worse than me. And because I know I'm bad, I know what he's going to be like, because what walks in me is going to run in him. So you want to know what the parents are like? Look at the kids. Hallelujah. So I'm just so handsome, you know, it's just like, hallelujah. Just the good genes passed on. and so God is like that with us. He won't give you. If my son was 12, I wouldn't hand him the keys to a Lamborghini and say, go drive the car around. Because he has not got the maturity to handle the experience or handle the responsibility for what's needed to happen with that car. And so the important thing, bring it on, yeah. The important thing for us to realize is that God won't give us mature things if we remain a baby. And there are many in the church today that have been in the church for years that are still little babies, sucking at the milk. I know people who are 3 years in God that have more in them than people who have been Christians in a religious system for 50 years. And so God is looking for mature sons who would grow up in His kingdom and actually become the sons that He's looking for to put His mark on them, to give them the responsibility of driving the Lamborghini. Now, I want to drive the Lamborghini. In fact, I want to drive one of them fiery chariots because it's faster than the Lamborghini. Hallelujah. And so there's some things that we need to do for our spirit man that will enable it to come alive. And so I'm going to share some of these things today. Number one is we must meditate on the Word of God. And I've gone through this a little bit. And I'm going to go through it again so that the religious demon can be addressed behind meditating. Meditating is not sitting with your legs crossed going, minum, minum, minum. Okay, been there, done that. It was plain stupid and still stupid today. Because when they go minimum, they're making their mind go blank. And they're meditating around nothing so that nothing will fill the nothing. And so when nothing fills the nothing, something comes into nothing. It's usually demons. And so meditating is very important. It says this in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. As I said to you the other day, this is not God. It's the way to God, and it's about Him. It's another testimony of who He is and gives us an anchor and a row to engage Him in relationship. So, and he wants you to develop a relationship that you can get to know God. And so meditating on this is vital because it unlocks the knowing and brings you into a deeper relational connection with God than just the single plane that it is read at. This word is spiritual food for us. The reason why it's spiritual food is it gives us things to think about, things to meditate over, things to think over, and things to look at and to contemplate. And it's important that you don't just read it as a single dimensional book with a little black writing on it and just read it, because it'll be like I said yesterday, like sucking the outside of a lolly-wrapped paper. I mean, a paper-wrapped lolly. I go, ouch. No, it's precious. Precious has been here for years. No, not really. It's all good. It's funny, you know, oh, I won't go there. Let's not go there. Demons are really weird, you know, they're weird. And I can remember praying for this one lady one day. Didn't think get them saying to me, I'm not here, I'm not here. Well, why are you telling me you're here then if you're not there? I mean, it's just like, get a life. It's funny, you know, they weird. All the demon is a soul without a body to express itself in and uses us to express itself through, to bring us to a place of sacrifice before it so it can have a hold in our life. Yeah, sacrifice. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, let's not go there. Yeah, strong spirit. That's right. Thank you. Get back to the purpose, focus. Meditating is a process to ponder, to imagine, to revolve around in your mind, and to mutter like a sheep. Meditation is the process of actively thinking, imagining, and revolving the Word of God in your mind while seeking to do three things. To understand what it means. To understand how it applies to your life and what implication there is. And understand what our response must be to it. Now, the reason I'm laughing, you've got to understand that when you preach, you do things with your hands. And I can remember being in this big conference with 5,500 Asian people. And I'm sitting there going, point number one, not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. So I'm trying to learn to get my hands around the right way so that there's no offense taken by people out there. So that's why I'm cackling away to myself, because I started to do the same thing. Anyway, whatever. It's all good. So we need to understand what it means, what its implication is, and what response I need to make to it. And I said, as I said before, it's like sucking a lolly. And it isn't until you get to the very root of the stuff inside the lolly that the taste and the flavor comes out of it. And it's like that with the Word of God. As you begin to respond to the Word of God, you'll begin to get deeper and deeper and deeper into it until it begins to fill your spirit man. And then you begin to get sustenance and life out of it. But it doesn't just come by reading it. You've got to meditate around it. The benefit of meditating on the Word of God are that it results in fruitfulness. It results in a prospering of your life. And enables us to tap into a source bigger than ourselves. Another one that we need to get engaged with, and that is worship. Now, I get really frustrated when I come into a conference and there are people with their hands raised and actually they have no interest in worshiping God. All they're doing is worshiping themselves by trying to pull God into them. And what they do is they take the life of another out of an atmosphere where God should dwell in. They take their life out and use it for themselves to make themselves feel good because they're too darn lazy during the week to cultivate their own relationship with the presence of God. It's called religious people. And churches are full of them. Conferences are full, not in this conference, of course. Churches and conferences are full of religious people who actually want another to pay the price for them because they're not willing to pay the price for themselves. They're not willing to actually do the work for themselves to cultivate an intimacy and relationship with the presence of God. They want somebody else to do it for them so that on Sunday they can make themselves feel better by taking the life of another person to themselves, becoming a spiritual Christian vampire and taking it out of the church and actually fulfilling their own desire out there. And come Monday afternoon, it's all gone. And they wonder why church isn't filled with the glory because they're so busy sucking it out. And so we've got to take what we have in worship, in abandonment towards the presence of God. You've got to take what you have and put it into an atmosphere so he has something to work with. And you do it by words you speak. We've been speaking some amazing words. I don't know whether you pay attention to the words you're speaking. Because the Bible says, with your mouth is made confession unto salvation. And when you speak words like, Lord, we want your presence, or we come, it's by your blood. Actually, there's creative power released in the place of worship on the words that you sing to release the reality of that supernatural world around your life into an atmosphere that can change your life, change the church's life, and change your city. That's why worship is so important. It's one of the faculties of your spirit man. We are designed to worship. You either worship the creator or you worship the created. And there's no halfway in between it. And if you are, you're sitting on a razor blade. It's not very comfortable. Worship enables us to enter into a relational, spiritual climate with the person of God. When I say the person of God, I mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm a Father freak. Like, my desire, I want the Father. You have other people like Charlie Robinson who are Jesus freaks. And you have people like Jason Westerfield who are Holy Ghost freaks. And it doesn't matter which one you chose because it's still God, but you kind of have a bent towards one because that's the way you've been made. So that in the church, there's Holy Ghost freaks, there's Jesus freaks, and Father's freaks, and you put them all together, and you get the glory. So it doesn't really matter which one you chose, because all three are one, but actually you can relate individually to all three, because they all have different personalities, different characters, different purpose, different desire to see you and who you are, because it's the Holy Spirit's desire to lead you to Jesus, Jesus' desire to lead you to the Father's desire to present you to the world. So it's really simple, real basic steps. As we open our inner being in the place of worship with the words we speak, our heart and our spirit begin to entangle itself and engage the presence and person of God in His arena. If in worship you are trying to pull that arena down here, you are failing in your purpose. You are supposed to reach into where He is and go up to where He is. He wants you to ascend into His presence. He doesn't want to descend into yours. There is a difference between Him coming before you and you going before Him. Yet the church stands here and goes, Jesus, come down. Well, actually, Jesus has already come down. In fact, actually, He's right around you. The issue is you haven't engaged Him yet to actually see where you're supposed to go. And often you know how people pray by their relationship with God and their expectation and where they are with the realm of the kingdom. You can hear by the way they pray. And I get in some places that are going to a prayer meeting. We're supposed to be in a church that's supposed to be moving in the kingdom realm of the glory. And they, oh, Lord, we just ask that you would be here today and we hope that you turn up. We hope that you will do some miracles and that your presence will be here. Well, actually, it's time our presence went to a year's so that we can be in His presence and then bring that glory down with us when we return after worship. Because you can't become something you've never seen. You know, I became very fascinated with Moses in the Old Testament. And Carl and I have had some very deep discussions over Moses and just some of the things that happened around him, and hopefully sometime we'll be able to release some of that stuff. But one of the things that fascinated me about Moses was that his face shone. And when you actually go look in the Hebrew of the word shone, it actually means there were beams of light like horns coming off his body. And that's part of the ox head of God. And so, you know, when you get in the presence of God, you will take on His image. You will. I haven't spent 30 days in His presence. I've spent about 30 seconds to about 15 minutes actually relating direct with a person. It so changes you that you feel different and everything is different and changes you, and it's long lasting because you get transformed in His image. And as we gaze upon Him as in a mirror, we get changed into His likeness from glory to glory. And so it's what we look upon, we get changed into. So my question to you today is, what are you looking at? And so here's Moses shining. And you know, the word says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, the word truth is a very interesting word there, because it means without concealing or hiding anything. So if you come into church and you are concealing or hiding anything about your own personal life from the presence of God, actually, you're not worshiping in truth. Therefore, you will never engage the kingdom, and therefore you'll never be honest before the presence of God and never become righteous and able to step into his presence. As we desire to become genuine and open in sharing ourselves with him in worship, there are areas of our lives will be covered and remain separate and changed from this world. As we engage him, areas of our lives will become separated from the world and be changed into his image, and the world will never ever be able to change it again. But it's about you spending time engaging him. In Isaiah 41, 29 to 31 says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Have you ever wondered what it's like to fly like an eagle? It's a wonderful experience. It's kind of, you know, a little bit better than what they do in their world, where they call it astral travel. Except instead of going this way, you go up, which is where we're supposed to go anyway. You know, I'm going to address something here just for the sake of the tape. When Satan came before the Lord to present himself before the Lord with the sons of God in Job, it says that God said, Satan, from whence have you come? And Satan said, from walking to and fro and up and down in all the earth. So that tells you how demons move, to and fro and up and down. That means they're using an illegal passage to do their work, because their passage doesn't belong to them. The reason they can go to and fro and up and down is because we're not going to and fro and up and down. And shutting them out from becoming the legal owners of the passageways. Oh, my Jesus. So we've got to wait on God. That word, wait. My kid, my son knows what's going on. The word wait means to bind together by twisting and entwining. So when you see somebody twining themselves, don't actually judge them, because it happened today. Because you can feel it in the spirit world. Oh, look at her. She's freaky. So what? That's her relationship with God. If you could get yourself abandoned like she was, or like her or he was, or whatever, actually you might find yourself in a better place. As we spend time entwining ourselves with the Spirit of God, we are affected in the Spirit and new life begins. Now I'm feeling the spirit world is hating what we're doing here. This is good. Religious demons had nothing to do with the spirit world. New strength will flow into us. When we wait on him, we get entwined into a number of things. His destiny, his purpose, his desire. We get locked together in his goal for your life. It's amazing. Worship is very, very important for us. And worship leads to another issue, which is true fellowship. And I don't mean fellowship, as most people have fellowship. I mean the baptism into unity, where there is a genuine sharing, heart-to-heart relationship with other people, where there's genuine caring, genuine responsibility, genuine desire to actually come to know someone. And, you know, fellowship is important, because in Proverbs 27, 17 says this, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Don't ever only relate with people that are below you. If you do that, you are a control freak and you have major issues in your life. There are people in churches today that have, like a youth group, they can't relate with adults. So they relate with all the young kids because the kids will respond to them, and that's their measure. The issue is actually immaturity and major issues in their life. Get clean, get sorted out, get healed so that you can relate with your peers that are on your level and with those that are above you. Because what happens when you come beside someone that has a deeper walk with God than what you do, he begins to sharpen the iron in your life to make you a keening edge. And I have people challenge me over stuff. You know, when I'm talking with some of these guys that I'm connected with, they'll say, Ian, what do you think about this? And I'll go, da-da-da. And they'll say, well, I think about this like this. And what do you think about this here? And you get this thing where you get this synergy going that brings a common denominator into it. And suddenly you find you come into agreement on something. And you go, yeah, That's right. And for no apparent reason, you find yourself in agreement. It's because iron's been going, sharpening your spirit man so that it can become sharp. And it's important for us to be like that and to have that kind of fellowship that's important for us. When we fellowship with others, we can pick up and be influenced by what is in their spirit, not just what's around their soul. It's the source of their spirit life is the thing that will impart life into you. And so if all you're doing is going around and having a cup of tea with Auntie Floozy, then you're in some major problems in your life. Because actually you're not relating on a deep level at all. You're actually relating out of a superficial, fleshy arena. And usually I find people who are like that, you get them together and they go, ooh, did you know that, Jane? And demons are released from your voice. And so the word says, fowls of the air hasten to perform our words. Demons. Gossip demons that are released when you gossip. When we spend time sharing with Christians who have faith in God about their life, we are often revived and refreshed in our own spirit. And often we receive impartation without even knowing we have done. When you are feeling down in the dumps, go and get with somebody that is bubbly and full of life. Because what will happen, you'll get around them, and after about 10 minutes, you'll be going, oh, what was I depressed about? Because what happens is the anointing calls this anointing to come into unity, because that's a greater anointing. Remember, I talked about harmony and vibration. Well, the greater vibration in them has precedence over this one, and eventually this one will take the tune of that. And so get around people who have life in them. I hate walking around people the time that are depressed. I used to do a lot of counseling. I don't do it anymore. Praise God. But counseling is important, and I do counsel, okay? But when I counsel now, I say, okay, this is what your problem is. Let's pray into that. I'll give you a whole lot of homework. When you've done your homework, come back and see me. And if they don't do their homework, they ring me up. Oh, Ian, I'm in such a mess. I've got this and this. Have you done your homework? Oh, no, I found it out. I'm sorry. When you've done your homework, come back and see me. I'm not going to be the burden bearer of their sin and their issues. They can carry their own sin, their own cross. When they want to do the homework and do the work, then they come back and see me, and I will help them. You know, you just got to get real with some of these things, because everybody wants you to carry their burden. And there is a time. There is a time for restoration. There is a time when you're broken to get healing. And there is a time to better walk through that broken process so you can get fully healed inside. But if you stay there for years, Holy Spirit's coming in. Yeah, you catch it. Hallelujah. Get some anointing over that one, brother. You put it on your hair, eh? That's where you got no hair left, man. That's your problem, brother. See, there's coming a day when the Spirit of God is going to want to bring restoration just by you being there. Because of who you are, what you carry in the realm of the Spirit, is somebody will come in broken, they'll sit in a meeting, and they'll go, ah, and everything will go off their life. And they'll walk out totally changed. God, this day, the days of weeks and months of counseling is over. It is. I'm serious. I'm serious. The reason it isn't over yet is because we're stuck in a rut. Do you know what a rut is? It's a never-ending grave. And it will always be there. You can choose to make a new track if you want to. You get some Holy Ghost. You can choose to make a new track. You have the choice to do that. You have the choice to begin to reveal the manifested Son of God on the earth to bring change. I'll stand over here, Jess. I'll preach from here next time. Hallelujah, brother. Yeah, DNA. Praise God. You know, I've often wondered how Paul's shadow healed. And when you understand that a being of pure light doesn't have a shadow, kind of makes a bit of a mockery of the scripture that says, you know, as we dwell in the shadow of his wing or the shadow, well, how can a being of pure light have a shadow? Well, he doesn't. Actually, you make the shadow because you become the source of the shadow, because the vibration that comes through you forms a pattern of who you are behind you. And so you carry the pattern. So your shadow carries the pattern of the glory that's in front of you. And that's why Paul's shadow could heal. Anyway, whatever. And so we need to become the shadow of the manifestation of the presence of God in all that we do. So that when we walk, we become the Anybody ever gone next to some of those massive big power lines or those electrical storage cables? You go past them and all your hair stands on end, you know. Oh, well, look at that, eh? My daughter used to have long, blonde, really fine, straight hair and used to put a balloon around her head up here and all the hair would go, vroom. It looked the most wonderful thing. It's just weird, you know, whatever. And so we used to, and it's like that. When you become energized by fellowship one with another, you become like a current reserve of the glory and the power of God. And you can get next to people and they will find themselves getting delivered without even having to pray for them if they are open to the realm of the kingdom. That's why it's important to be open to one another so that what is in one can become connected with the other. Because if God is omnipresent, remember the very first session I talked about how physics has proved that a molecule here and a molecule there without any known contact harmonizing at the same harmonic vibration, information from this will be instantly transferred to that without any known line of connection or communication. It's like this, you and I have God in us. When He is omnipresent in us and we connect out of that level, that means the glory that's here can be transferred there to bring that to the greater level. That's why fellowship is important. Now I'm starting to get in the flow. It's good. Our spirit can get greatly refreshed and draw from inspired, anointed people. Don't get around religious Sadducees. Don't get around them. You recognize a Sadducee by the law that they live their life by. Everything is, I've got to live a holy life. I can't sin. Well, I've got to live a relational life where I don't want to sin. Hallelujah. The next thing that we need to do is we need to spend time praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is vitally important. Now, there's the gift of tongues, which requires interpretation, and then there's praying in tongues, which is when you pray in the Spirit and your spirit man is edified. If you don't spend time praying in the Spirit and getting that vibration of the V8 going, then actually you're not edifying yourself. One day when I was praying in the Spirit, the Lord said to me, why don't you put your hands in front of your face and pray into your hands? Well, I did after I got my teeth cleaned, you know, and so in the morning. But anyway, and so I was busy praying into my hands. And you know what was happening? When I was praying, the Spirit was going straight into my ears, into my heart, and back into my spirit again. So I had this never-ending vortex that was starting to build around my life. By the time I was finished, I was going, oh, that feels good. Oh. You take on the world, you know, you become like Samson. One of the key things that we need to engage when we pray in tongues, don't just do it as a mechanical thing. Now, I've learned that there is a time to do the mechanical thing because you can't get your faculties fully engaged. Okay? And so there's also times when you can get your faculties fully engaged, especially when you're mowing the grass. Now, you've got to understand, I'm a manager of a swimming pool complex and I have about 2 acres of grass, or used to in this one. And I told my staff, mowing the grass is my job. If you mow the grass, I will give you a written warning because you're going outside of your job description, and I'm telling you very clearly in your thing, mowing the grass is my job. The reason I want to mow the grass is it gives me a 2-hour space during work time where I can engage the realm of the Spirit in the kingdom world and walk around the grass doing this. Because I don't have to think because it all does it all by itself, you know. And I can remember doing that one day and coming to the point where there was no more grass to mow. I'm sitting there like this. 15 minutes later, and one of my staff came up to me. Oh, you're right, Ian. Oh, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Walk off. I don't know what they thought. I never heard. But you see, when you engage your spirit man, make opportunities. I used to have things on our shower wall, pray in tongues. I used to have it on my dash of my car, pray in tongues. I used to have it on the sink when I used to do dishes, pray in tongues. I used to have it in my garage, in the fish tank room, pray in tongues. Whatever. Do whatever's necessary to cultivate an issue of engagement on a continual basis with the presence of God. Get inside there and engage Him. Don't just do it, blah, 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 blah. Anybody can blow bubbles. When I engage the presence of God, I engage it with my imagination as well. I make something in my mind an object of the reason why I'm praying in tongues. Now, I don't make it an object of things that I've lusted after. That's why you do the blood thing before, so you can get that clean, so you can get some word in there, and can build some pictures in your imagination of the scriptures, and pray the scriptures while you're looking at the word of God. Imagine being there. You know, I said, driving to work's great. I have a 20-minute spell every day. To work, 20 minutes back. I find them a very good, relaxing time to engage the presence of God. Because I get in the car, because I've driven a car so often, I don't have to think about driving the car. It drives itself. So you get there and you engage, and the car drives itself all the way home, and you come up the driveway, and you come back into yourself again, and suddenly you're actually at home, and it's been a wonderful time with the presence of God. But practice. I couldn't do that when I first started because I'd be so worried about going out that I'd crash the car. But realizing that God loves me, that my body will do the job if my spirit is engaged in the right thing. My body will do what my soul tells it. My soul's at the driver's car while my spirit is engaging God. But it took me a while, praying in tongues, to and from work for about a year. On my trike, screaming out the word of God in my helmet. Yeah, no, I'm a petrol head. I built a trike. I decided to design a V-dub trike with three wheels, so I designed it. Then I decided to learn how to weld, so I built it. Then I decided to learn how to do the electrics, so I read a book and I did the electrics on my trike. Now, I don't consider that hard. That's just normal. I mean, we should, you know, whatever. We should be able to do these kind of things. And so praying in the Spirit is very important for us. It's what? Yeah, it was random. Praying in, I was just thinking about my trike. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ever seen this? Eddie? Anyway, whatever. It's pretty good. Praise God. Just wipe that from the CD. Praying in the Spirit is important. When you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is praying. And you are exercising your spirit man in an unknown tongue. The Bible says, in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays. To be a benefit, we must be consistent and we must stretch ourselves. Don't just spend 2 minutes. The average Christian spends 2 minutes a day praying in tongues. No wonder the church is where it is today. It's because there's no life flow out of their spirit life. I mean, I can't exist outside of praying for 10 or 15, 20, 30 minutes in tongues. When we do our 24-hour thing, we spend probably 17 hours of that praying in tongues. And it's like, by the end of it, it's really good. Because your spirit man has got some sustenance to work with. When the word says he that prays in a tongue is edified and built up. The word edified has a very interesting thing. It means to be like a house builder to construct something. And so the Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Okay? So what are you building in the Spirit becomes the dwelling place of the manifested presence of God in the spirit world around your life. Another thing we need to do is we need to speak the word of God out with heartfelt faith. You know, you can teach a parrot to do things. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Rock! Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Rock! Actually, it doesn't mean a thing because the spirit is not engaged in it. But when you engage your spirit and you kind of get into the mode, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, that's different than going, rock! Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because what I'm doing is I'm engaging my spirit with a natural verbal semantic language called English that I have and using that as a weapon to establish the boundary of the kingdom around my life. If you don't establish a boundary for your life, something else will establish your boundaries for you. That's why most believers, conflict is right inside their life instead of being 5 or 10 meters outside of their life. Okay, there are three boundaries that you need to establish between you and the spirit world. Love, joy, and peace. When you've established those boundaries, and it's not, Lord, I establish a boundary of love. Actually, I establish a boundary of love. And so any demon, any spirit that is contrary to love, when it's out there, I can address it out there and speak to it. instead of having it right here in me, around my life, going, oh! Any voice that comes into your life that does not have love, joy, and peace in it, it's a demon. Those little things that go, she doesn't really like you, they didn't really care for you, look, you're fat, you're ugly. Demons. Speaking in first person in your brain. The reason they're there is because you haven't established a boundary for them to be out there. And when they're out there, they have to go, oi, Ian, he doesn't like you. I go, so? I know he does. You want to come in here. Now you come into my parlor. And let's see what happens. You see, when you set the boundary line, you set the mantle, the mandate for the arena of government that is established over and around your life. And so if they want to come in, they know what's going to happen. They're going to get beaten to smart. Why? Because they've seen me do it with others. And so I've practiced on the others so that they know the protocol. When they come out there, I can invite them in and they can beat the snot out of them. When I've had enough, they will then go out. So they don't come in. I mean, it's kind of a good agreement. You know, I have this really amazing understanding with the devil. You know, I ate his guts, he ate mine, and I win. I mean, it's a good understanding. See, but we've got to take the word of God and we've got to use it. I talked in the first session about using the word of God, declaring, Father, Father, it is finished. Finished. If you speak with your spirit man and decree the word of God, you'll find the spirit world will back off. Because you're standing in the mandate of a king. Because you've been born as a king, you carry the DNA of a king, you carry the capacity of a king, you've been designed to be a ruler and a king, to subdue everything that is around you. And yet we're like weak, wimpy, little pussycats who are supposed to be lions. And we have this lie. You know, when I went into this trophy room and I walked into this amphitheater chasing this mantle of this man that had fallen, I wasn't going to allow his mantle to go into the trophy room of Satan. It's got to come back to the house of the beloved. So I went after his mantle. You know, there's times when I get furious, so I'll go after something just because I want to pick a fight. And so I went after his mantle and I walked into this amphitheater where they were all celebrating, probably 500,000 of them, all looking at this cart of this mantle being displayed and being taken to the trophy room. And I was furious and I walked inside there. Now, I wasn't being presumptuous because I know who I am. Who is afraid of a lion? Is it the animals that make the lion afraid, or the animals afraid of the lion when he comes into the paddock? Even though there are herds of animals, when a lion walks in, everything takes notice. And what does everything do? Who's going to get beaten? Who's going to get eaten? Whose turn is it to die? See, I'm trying to get some reality for you, because this is a reality we're supposed to walk in. So subsequently, I got that mantle. It's sitting in my storehouse inside the treasure chamber in my own mountain. When the man comes back and he repents and does his thing and he is getting restored, that he can have the mantle back. I'll go and give it back to him. You know, we can do these things. I refuse them. I just would not allow that thing to go into the trophy room. It's just not on. And anyway, it's the same with the gold and all the jewels and all the treasure and all the stuff of the earth. God said all the gold and silver are mine, and yet it's all in the hands of the unbeliever. Time they changed. Hallelujah. So we've got to speak the word. We've got to pray in tongues and speak the word of God out. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Listen, you have got to hold on to what you know is true. What you know is the boundary of the word of God. The word of God is true. That is the thing you've got to hold on to. When you are in the middle of a battle, if you don't have the intimacy and the engagement with the kingdom, when you are in the middle of a battle, you have got to hold on to the truth of what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you are going to overcome, then you've got to hold on. Father, I will overcome. I will stand and be strong, because greater is He that is in me than he that is there. And you've got to address it. You've got to stand strong. Now, some of you have seen the lamb side. You're now seeing a bit of the lion side. So I'm not always a nice, meek and mild, weak, gentle, meek and mild Jesus. You know, people still have this image of Jesus being in a crib, in a, you know, in this little swaddling thing, rocking him to and fro like a baby. Well, the Jesus I know actually has eyes like a flame of fire, tongue like a sharp sword, eye countenance shines like the sun in his glory, his voice and hair, his head and hair as white as wool, his voice like the sound of many waters, that, you know, his countenance shines, just all this is what my Jesus looks like. And actually, that's what we look like. Revelations. John says, I behold and saw one likened unto the Son of Man. He said, anyway, it's clear, white as wool, and it goes on, he talks about it. Who is likened to the Son of Man? You and me. And so I pray, Father, I thank you that I have eyes like a flame of fire, that I have a tongue like a sharp sword that devours everything, and when I speak to it, if it's demonic, it dies. Thank you that I have a countenance that shines like the sun, so that when they look at me, they're terrified because they don't know where the attack is coming from. That when I speak, my voice is like the sound of Victoria Falls, shaking everything that touches in the spirit world, vibrating and creating havoc. Now that to me is called food. Sucking the lollies and getting the good stuff out of it. Now, I want to finish here. We can go on some other things, but you need to learn how to obey and get to grips with the voice of our spirit and this desire to engage God. We need to allow our thoughts to be spontaneous. You know, people say to me, oh, how do I know when there's a difference between me imagining something and me seeing in the spirit? Well, it takes a human anywhere from 5 to 25 different pictures put together to make an image in your imagination, and it takes about 5 seconds for it to happen. Whereas when you're in the spirit, it's instantaneous, and you're not even thinking about what's happening, it just goes, and it's all there. That's how I know the difference between things in the spirit and things in my imagination. Things in my imagination I've got to make. Things in the spirit come out of my spirit man on instantaneously there. Easy way to recognize the difference. We've got to exercise our spirit. We've got to train our spirit to discern between good and evil. And exercise means exercise. Like, get your body doing what it's supposed to do. So when you get up in the morning and you feel tired, like me, you know, I've been standing on my feet, I don't know for how long now, 8, 10, 12, maybe 12 hours or whatever it is, you've all been sitting on your backside. And so here's my issue. If I feel tired, I've got to exercise my spirit and my soul to make my body behave the way I want it to behave. So if it's sore, it will just bow the knee to my spirit that says, I am full of life and you will receive life. And you will do this until the sit conference is finished. This has been an easy conference. Sometimes we do 13 sessions in 2 days. And so, but whatever, it's all under the blood, you know, it's glorious. You've got to exercise your spirit man. So your spirit man becomes strong. Because the only way you will contain the glory and be able to stand in the realm of the kingdom before the throne of God is if your spirit is strong. Now people say, oh Ian, do you go and do exercises and push weights? No, I don't. All you do is engage the spirit of might and look like me. Hallelujah. Yeah, my kids go, well, I got a six-pack and you got a keg. Well, I'd rather have the six-pack, but I want the keg, more room. Anyway, but I'm serious. You see, your spirit man, your body will take on the image of your spirit man. And the more you engage the realm of the kingdom, the greater the reflection of the inner man is going to come on the outer man, to where your outer man is going to become white and transparent with the glory of the kingdom, the realm of heaven, manifesting from your inside. That day I am looking forward to. I am not there yet, but I'm working towards it. I want those claws sticking out of my hands. I want to be a lion. I want to be a lion. You can take your finger and go into the realm of the kingdom and go, bing, 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 bing. Anybody want some? Hallelujah, Father. I know I've been a bit naughty today, but it's good because it kind of gives you an idea of what we can do. You see, I've spent years doing this. And a lot of this stuff I've already set as a platform in my life. So I don't have to do it every day. But when I want to, I can step onto that platform and within 2 seconds it's there. I can remember praying for this lady who had been done all sorts of stuff, and we laid hands on her and she hissed, turned to me, and her eyes were slipped like cat's eyes, red, looking at me going, well, I hadn't spent 3 weeks fasting. I hadn't spent 40 days fasting. I hadn't even spent half an hour praying. So I couldn't tell it, excuse me, just stay there. Well, I go away and pray for 3 weeks, and then I'll come back to you. You just stay in that pose. It took me about, I went, whoa, look at that. Whoa, look at that. Yeah. Bring it on. And the moment I stepped there, she was crawling to the back of the room trying to get away from me because I stepped into the reality of who I am, not what I am. See, and when you form a platform, you can step into that reality as quick as that. That's why I say to you, my reality is the kingdom world. And I can step into it and then step out of it anytime I like. And it's not hard to step into it and then to step out of it. It's practice. Practice your profession. Practice your profession. A doctor practices doctoring. A lawyer practices lawing. Whatever it is, whatever. If there's such a word, just made a new word. Thank you, Jesus, for creative power. It's for a king to decree such a matter. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for what you have made us to become. Father, I want to thank you that you have created in us the capacity to become a roaring lion and yet also to become a lamb. Father, thank you that you've given us the keys of the kingdom to be able to obtain the reality of being able to live as a supernatural spiritual being in a natural world. Father, able to fully participate with the reality of the kingdom while being able to participate with this unreality. Father, I ask that this afternoon of what I've spoken would go in like seeds and be planted on fertile ground in the hearts of these people. Father, today I bless them with revelatory knowledge about who they are as a son and how to grow their spirit. I bless them with that knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.